The Man-Child, Who He Is Not and Who He Is, by A.S. Copley. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants the prophets. Amos 3, verse 7. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Revelation 12, verses 1 and 2. Let us read the 12th chapter of Revelation. Why, we almost understand it by reading it through. There may be different applications of some portions of Scripture, but there can be only one interpretation of any portion. Therefore, most of the interpretations of this 12th chapter are incorrect and out of harmony with the rest of the Word of God. My discourse on this subject will fall into two parts. One, who this man-child is not, and two, who he really is. The book of Revelation was written about 69 AD. The first verse declares that its contents should come to pass after that date. Bear this in mind in studying this 12th chapter of Revelation. Several background facts. In this chapter, we read of three wonders or signs. The Greek word semeion is sometimes translated wonder and other times sign. First, a woman clothed with the sun is called a great wonder or sign. Second, another wonder, a great red dragon. Third, a man-child, which is also a wonder or sign, though not so termed, for if the woman who gives birth to the child is a wonder woman, then her child also must be a wonder child. That is plain logic. This is my meaning. The woman is not actually a woman, 5 feet tall, weighing 125 pounds, and wearing a calico or silk dress with a spring bonnet on her head. She is a wonder woman, a sign woman. She is a company of people likened to a woman, even as Jerusalem and Israel are likened to a woman, Isaiah 54, 6, and the church to a virgin, 2 Corinthians 11, 2. Her child also is a company of people, as intimated by Revelation 12, verses 10 through 11. John did not see a crocodile or an alligator in heaven. He saw that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. In the vision, John beholds him as a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Thus, he was a sign, wonder. I mention this because some folks give a wrong interpretation to this wonder. Who this man-child is not. Now, let us note a dozen proofs that this man-child is not Jesus Christ. First, Jesus was not a sign or wonder child when he was born. He was actually a Jewish child born in a stable in Bethlehem. Second, Jesus was not caught up to heaven as soon as he was born, but he was carried into Egypt. The sign child of our chapter was caught up to heaven as soon as it was born. Third, Jesus was born about 69 years before this vision was given to John, which means that the birth described in Revelation 12 can have no reference to his birth in any sense. Fourth, Jesus' mother also fled into Egypt with her babe, but when the man-child was taken up to heaven, the women fled into the wilderness alone. John saw the facts of Revelation 12 from the day of the Lord. Hence, he expressed them as past, though they are still future. Fifth, both Jesus and his mother returned from Egypt after some months. But the man-child is not seen returning from heaven, nor the woman from the wilderness. Sixth, Jesus went up to heaven not as a child, but when he was 33 years old. The sign child goes to heaven as soon as it is born, while it is yet a child. Seventh, Mary was not in heaven, neither before nor after her babe was born. The sign woman of our text chapter was first seen in heaven, then on earth also. There is not the slightest reference to Mary in this chapter. Eighth, we do not read that Mary cried with travail pain. No doubt the birth of Jesus was lively and painless, as we read of the Hebrews in Exodus 1:19. This sign woman cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Ninth, Mary was not a great wonder woman, but a simple Jewish maiden attracting no special attention even after her child was born. Tenth, Mary was not sun-clad with the moon under her feet. She wore no crown of 12 stars. She was simply a favored Jewish woman whom God chose to be the mother of the Messiah. But the Wonder Woman will be sun-clad, moon-honored, and star-crowned. 11th, immediately after the birth and ascension of the man-child, war was seen in heaven, but we read of no war neither in heaven nor on earth at the birth of Jesus. 12, Satan was expecting the birth of the man-child, for he stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. But the birth of Jesus was a surprise to Satan. He did not stir up Herod against him again until after his birth, after the wise men from the east has inquired of him where the Christ should be born. The man-child is not the church. Permit some preliminary remarks before discussing the subject. We consider that the fulfillment of Revelation from the 4th chapter to the 19th chapter will be within 7 years, which is called a week in Daniel 9:27. The Old Testament prophets speak frequently and profusely of that time, calling it a period of judgment upon the world and of chastisement upon Israel. With this, the New Testament writers agree. That period is called the hour of temptation or trial, which will be worldwide, Revelation 3:10, and the great tribulation, Revelation 7:14. This time of trial or tribulation must not be confounded with the great tribulation of Matthew 24, verses 21 through 29, as it will be localized to Palestine and refers to the Jews only. This is a very important distinction and must be observed. The hour of trial, time of tribulation, named in Revelation 3 and 7, will cover nearly the whole of the 7 years of gloom and judgment. But the tribulation of Matthew 24 will cover less than the latter half of the 7 years. This Gentile age will close before those 7 years of trial will begin. Those days will be the beginning of the millennium, because Jesus will be due to reign then, but the nations will refuse to acknowledge him. They will be usurpers, therefore, his dire dealings with them in wrath will be absolutely just. When will the man-child be born? Exactly what time in that week of 7 years will the man-child be born? The answer to this question will help us greatly to determine his identity. Our text chapter contains the clue to the answer. Immediately after the birth of the man-child, we read of war in heaven between Michael and Satan is hurled down to the earth. No doubt that war will begin near the commencement of the 7 years. Satan's descent to the earth will occur shortly before the middle of the week, because he must come down and empower and enthrone the Antichrist, who shall reign 3.5 years, Revelation 13:5. Hence, the man-child will be born a brief time, 250 days, before the middle of the week of 7 years. Now, we shall proceed to prove that the man-child is not the church nor the bride of Christ. The same facts prove both to be impossible. First, he's only a child, but the body of Christ must be fully developed and grown as a body. For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we all are partakers of that one bread, 1 Corinthians 10:17. Adam, a type of Christ in mystery, was a full-grown man. The bride will be composed of full-grown saints. Christ will not marry a child company, nor any children in the body. Eve was not a child, but a woman builded of a rib taken from the man, Genesis 2:22. She is a type of the bride of Christ, Ephesians 5, verses 30 through 32. Second, the birth and ascension of the man-child are too late in the 7 years to represent either the church or the bride. The fullness of the Gentiles, Romans 11:25, is due to come in at the close of this age and before the great tribulation commences. Some of the body of Christ, the bride, must be in heaven when he sets up his throne there. These are full overcomers who are due in heaven before that period of judgment arrives. Third, if the man-child is the entire church, who are the overcomers of Revelation 3, verses 7 through 13? As plain as English can put it, we read that they shall be kept from the hour of temptation. Jesus says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. How will he keep them? By taking them up through the door which is open in heaven. Revelation 3, verse 8. Certainly the Philadelphia saints will not be among that man-child company. They will be off the scene about 3 years before the man-child is born. If the man-child is the entire church, then the Philadelphia saints will be compelled to be translated after the week begins and taken up out of the tribulation. But Revelation 3:10 declares that they will not even dip into the tribulation of Revelation 7:14, from which the innumerable company will be taken. Fourth, if the man-child is the whole church, who are the four living ones and the 24 elders of Revelation 4 and 5? Remember, John saw them in heaven long before he saw the sign child born. When he beheld the throne placed in heaven and one sitting upon it, he also saw those four living ones and 24 elders in the midst of the throne and round about the throne. You say that the four living ones are Israel? No, not Israel, neither are they angels, for they themselves declare their identity, saying, thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on or over the earth. Revelation 5 verses 9 and 10. They are Jew and Gentile believers. A critical study of this book shows that they will have a more intimate and responsible place in heaven than any other company. They will be very closely associated with the Lord in executing his will in heaven and on earth. Most certainly, they represent a very vital portion of the church and will be in the glory many months before the man-child will be born. We believe firmly that the Smyrna and Philadelphia saints, the overcomers of Revelation 2 verses 8 through 11 and Revelation 3 verses 7 through 13, will be the living creatures and elders of Revelation chapters 4 and 5. Fifth, if the man-child is the entire church, who are the innumerable company of Revelation 7 verses 9 through 17? John declares distinctly that after seeing the four living ones and 24 elders in heaven, he saw that a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. These are another company and have a different place, a lesser place, than those in Revelation chapters 4 and 5. But they will be in glory before the man-child is born. Nothing can be clearer than this. Now, who is that vast throng who no man could number, if the man-child is the church? If the man-child is the entire church, then that great multitude is the larger part of the man-child, which cannot be, if they are already in heaven when he is born. Someone replies that they are the tribulation saints that have come out of the great tribulation after the church is in heaven. How unreasonable and unscriptural. That makes the greatest revival ever known take place during those days of darkness and sorrow. Instead, the repeated statement is that they repented not, Revelation 9 verses 20 through 21 and 16 verses 9 through 11. If there should be a great revival then, none of them will get to heaven. Comparatively few will believe, which constitute the souls under the altar, Revelations chapters 6 and 15, and the woman in the wilderness and her seed, Revelation 12 verses 14 through 17. The innumerable throng is the vast bulk of the church. The simplest, most natural, and reasonable way to view these different companies is as John has recorded them. The four living ones and 24 elders appear in heaven first. A little later, the innumerable multitude. And finally, the man-child. That is not far-fetched, but most logical and harmonic. Sixth, if the man-child is the church, whose is the loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Revelation 12, verse 10. Is that not the voice of the four living ones and the 24 elders whom we hear in the preceding chapters again and again, and of the vast throng of Revelation 7, verses 9 through 17? Note Revelation chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, chapter 7, verse 13, chapter 8, verses 2, 7, 8, and 12, and chapter 10, verse 7. Who are those termed our brethren in Revelation 12, verse 10? Of course, they are the man-child, whoever he is, but they are not the whole church, because two particular companies are seen in heaven before these arrive there, and one or both of these two calls the third company our brethren. For the same reason, they are not the bride of Christ. Seventh, if the man-child is the whole church, who is the sign-woman or mother of the sign-child? Who is the mother of all the saints whom John saw in heaven, including the four living ones, the 24 elders, and the countless throng? Solve this problem, please. Someone answers, Israel. If that be true, then the child is vastly larger than his mother is. When I was an urchin, a riddle was put to me. What is bigger than a mother? When I was an urchin, a riddle was put to me. What is bigger than its mother? Vinegar was the answer. Most views of this chapter are vinegar interpretations, sure enough. If Israel constitutes the mother entirely, how and when does she get to heaven? What is she doing in heaven anyway? I thought that Israel was God's earthly people. For the Wonder Woman is seen first in heaven. If the innumerable company of Revelation 7 will be saved during the tribulation days, as some claim, and hence be Jewish, then, like with vinegar, the mother is formed after the child is born. Do you see into what dense fog some interpreters land us? One fellow dares to say that the bride of the Lamb is the mother of the man-child. This is almost too silly to be considered. The marriage of the Lamb and his bride will not take place until about 2.5 years after the man-child is born, and births are not considered legitimate, until after marriage. Neither will the bride be on earth at that time nor afterward. The church is not a part of the bride, but the bride is a part of the church. She is a rib company, divinely taken out of the church and builded into a bride. Eighth, the man-child cannot be the bride of the Lamb. We have already given some reasons against it. Here is the chief reason. The bridal company is due in heaven before the week of judgment, the 7 years, hour of temptation, trial, or tribulation begins. Who should be the first to meet the Lord in the air if not the bride? Who can most fittingly represent the bridal group than the Philadelphia overcomers? To them are made two unique promises. One, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Revelation 3:8. And two, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Revelation 3, verse 10. That no one may mistake our Lord's meaning, the next verse adds, Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Revelation 3:11. The Philadelphia saints, the overcoming bridal rank, will be caught away into heaven without any travail pain. Walking now as the children, or sons of light, and the children, sons of the day, and being awake, watchful, and sober, they will depart to glory while it is yet day, before the night in darkness and sudden destruction shall arrive. Consider very carefully these verses. When they are saying, Peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall in no wise escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief, for ye are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as do the rest, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us, since we are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 3 through 8, Revised Version. If the man-child were the bridal group, his birth would take place before the period which is called darkness and gloominess, the hour of temptation and travail. Instead, it is clear that he is born near the middle of that period and just before Satan is ejected from heaven. The man-child is of Israel, as we shall certainly see.